and with an 18-month-old daughter at home, I have found his message to be vital. And you need to hear about it if you've got young kids. Please welcome Dr. Len Horowitz.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much for that beautiful music. I appreciate it. Thank you also for the intro. We have a petition for the United States Congress to investigate the toxic biological and chemical exposures of the American people by affiliates of the military medical industrial complex. Today's presentation is regarding vaccines and the contaminants, both biological and or chemical exposures being delivered to the American people by the vaccines. I shared yesterday how during a 3-year investigation into a 1970 Department of Defense appropriations request for $10 million for a 5-year study to develop immune system ravaging microorganisms for germ warfare, I ultimately found the contracts under which numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were developed by an organization called Litton Bionetics under the direction of Dr. Robert Gallo, among the world's leading AIDS researchers, the guy who was credited with having discovered the AIDS virus in 1984. In fact, he created numerous AIDS-like viruses, viruses that were functionally identical to what the AIDS virus is and does, with John Landon from Litton Bionetics, who literally created numerous Ebola-like viruses as well. In fact, I show you the studies where John Landon published for the benefit of the National Cancer Institute. The studies that gave rise most plausibly to the grandmother of Ebola, the mother of Marburg virus. Well, at any rate, I show you then in the book Emerging Viruses that the vaccine, the 1974 experimental hepatitis B vaccine, was the vaccine that most plausibly delivered AIDS to the world. It was produced by Merck and Company. And a fellow by the name of Dr. Maurice Hilleman, in fact, says the same, virtually the same thing that I concluded in Chapter 13 of the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. See, I knew that Litton had this contract to supply the vaccine manufacturers with the monkeys that they used to grow the hepatitis B viruses in that they used to make the vaccines. And knowing what I shared with you the other day, the fact that Litton Bionetics Labs had a whole assortment of the most horrifying germs that you could never in your worst nightmares imagine them creating, including aerosolized leukemia viruses. And I'm not making it up. All you have to do is look at the reprinted U.S. official government documents that I've reprinted in the book. And so when they shipped the monkeys to Merck from Africa, that was their contract. I reprinted that contract. I knew that they were contaminated. And in fact, in the biohazard and containment symposiums that these doctors were discussing their problems in, they noted that they had a major problem and that 70% of their laboratory caged animals had been environmentally contaminated with hepatitis B viruses and a whole assortment of other viruses, including the herpes type viruses, Epstein-Barr, simian cytomegalo, herpes B, things that we now associate with chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction, and a whole assortment of other autoimmune related disorders, neurological problems, as well as cancers. So I concluded, based on the scientific evidence, that it was Hilleman who brought the contaminated monkeys in from Litton and had produced the vaccine that most plausibly delivered AIDS and chronic fatigue immune dysfunction to the world. And you know what? In 1986, this man, Maurice Hilleman, was interviewed by WGBH, Boston's famed public broadcasting station, and it was never aired. They withheld the airing of the segment wherein Hilleman says, "I brought the AIDS virus into North America and contaminated African greens." And he alleges then, "I didn't know it at the time." But he goes on to explain on this tape, you will hear him in his own words, in his own voice, go on to explain why it was that they had a major problem. Because the monkeys, as they were lined up cage to cage, one would sneeze, and he tells you they would all catch the same diseases. And they had a major problem. So they asked for the new African greens to be brought in. And this, he says, gave rise to the AIDS epidemic. Now, this is the man who President Clinton just recently awarded the Presidential Medal of Honor for a service to American military and medicine. It was called the Sabin Gold Medal of Honor Award just a couple months ago. Now, why we can't, as American citizens, get this man before Congress and ask him, what did he mean specifically by this, and get an investigation into this? I think it's long overdue, don't you think? The Journal of the American Medical Association reported 2 weeks ago that, indeed, there was a link between the polio vaccines, which contain monkey viruses, and in fact, yesterday I mentioned that today's oral polio vaccine is still being prepared much like it was in the late 50s and early 60s in contaminated monkey kidney tissues. And today, according to documents that we have, some of them through the Freedom of Information Act, the FDA, who we think is protecting our health and safety and those of our children, that of our children, the FDA must turn a blind eye to as many as 100 simian monkey virus contaminants, cancer-causing contaminants, per dose of the oral polio vaccine that we are told we must give to our children. And in fact, yesterday I mentioned the fact that last Saturday I debated two top Centers for Disease Control vaccine officials and one top Food and Drug Administration vaccine official. During that meeting, during that debate in front of the Nation of Islam in Chicago, the Centers for Disease Control official said, vaccines are not mandatory. It is not mandatory that you vaccinate your children. It is your choice. Now, do you think these people are a little negligent that they haven't told the mainstream media that, and the mainstream media's messages, and it's echoed by all the public health nurses and the physicians and the school administrators and the school nurses that tell you, you must get these vaccines. It is mandatory. And that's not the truth. And I've been saying that for well over a year now to my audiences. Well, it's interesting now that the Centers for Disease Control top vaccine official says, it is not mandatory. We at the CDC encourage you to get educated. Read, study what the truth is about vaccines, and then make an informed choice. Thank you. I think you're negligent for not telling the public and the media to deliver that message and then give people the full background like you're going to get today. You're going to get the alternative view of vaccines today. So the polio vaccines, Hilleman goes into and discusses the fact that these vaccines in the late 50s and early 60s, the polio vaccines, were both Salk and Sabin's, were hideously contaminated with monkey viruses, much like they are today. And they then had inoculated during the first trials of the Sabin vaccine. They inoculated well over 100 million people around the world, mostly in Russia, with vaccines that cause cancer, contain cancer viruses. He went to his friend, Al Sabin. Al Sabin, the creator of the Sabin oral polio vaccine. And he says, Al, we have a conference here. I'm going to get up and I'm going to present a paper saying that your vaccine, the polio vaccine, is loaded with cancer viruses. And Sabin said, what? You're not going to do that. Hilleman says, yes, indeed, it is. It's true. And I am. Don't worry, Al. We're going to get rid of these viruses in good time. It's more important to tell about this. And Al Sabin says, don't do it. It'll just be, quote, another obfuscation for the vaccine industry, end quote. And so it never really got out to the public. Hilleman is asked on this tape by the interviewer, didn't you alert the media? First he stumbles and stammers. He says, yes, we did. He said, then he says, no, we didn't. The reason why we didn't, he defends, is because We didn't want to unnecessarily alarm the public. And then he goes on to tell what the joke of the day was because of this. And then you're going to think to yourself that you are insane, or these people are insane. You will question your own sanity when you hear Dr. Maurice Hilleman, the world's leading vaccine developer for one of the world's leading pharmaceutical companies in the world, Merck and Company, tell you that the joke of the day at the National Institute of Health, because they had just inoculated mostly Russians with these 100 million doses of polio vaccines, the joke of the day was that during the next Olympics, the Russian athletes were going to come to the Olympics full of tumors. And then you will question your sanity again when you hear the people talking to Hilleman, listening to Hilleman, laughing. I thought to myself, what the heck are these people laughing at? Are these people insane? You will hear Edward Shorter, Harvard's famous medical historian who's conducting the interview, say, I love it! I love it!
The voices you are about to hear are mainly Hilleman's and Shorter's. WGBH crew members are heard asking additional questions. Notice the laughter of disbelief and perhaps anxiety when Hilleman admits bringing AIDS virus into North America.
Tell me how you found SV40 in the polio vaccine.
Well, that was a Merck thing. Now, I can tell you that very briefly how that happened.
Go ahead, and then we'll get back to Smadel in a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah, I came to Merck, and I was going to develop vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we had wild viruses in those days. Remember the wild monkey kidney viruses and so forth? And I finally, after 6 months, gave up. I said that you cannot develop vaccines with these damn monkeys. We're finished. And if I can't do something about it, I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. So I went down to see Bill Mann at the zoo in Washington, D.C. And by the way, he's a Montanan, along with me.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I told Bill Mann, I said, look, I got a problem. I don't know what the hell to do. Bill Mann is a real bright guy. I said, these lousy monkeys are picking it up, you know, while being stored in the airports in transit, these loading, offloading, loading. He said, very simple. He said, you go ahead, get your monkeys out of West Africa, get the African green, bring them into Madrid, unload them there. There are no other traffic through there for animals. Fly them into Philadelphia, pick them up. Or fly them into New York and pick them up right off the airplane. So I brought African greens in. I didn't know we were importing AIDS virus at the time.
And no, it was you who introduced AIDS virus to the country.
Now we go.
That became the story.
So what he did, he brought in, we brought in those monkeys. Now we had those. And this was the solution. Because those monkeys didn't have the wild viruses. But we had all
Wait,
of these...
Why didn't the greens have the wild viruses since they came from
because
Africa?
Because they weren't... They weren't being infected in these group holding things with all the other 40 different viruses.
But they had the ones they brought from the jungle, though.
Yeah, they had those, but there were relatively few. What you do is you have a gang housing, you're going to have an epidemic transmission of infection in a confined space.
Oh, is that the problem?
So, anyway, the greens came in. Now we had these, and then we're taking our seed stocks to clean them up and God, now I'm discovering new viruses. So I said, Judas Priest. Well, I got an invitation from the Sister Kinney Foundation, you know, which was the opposing foundation, and that was the live virus.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they had jumped on Sabin's bandwagon. Mm-hmm. They had asked me to come down and give a talk at the Sister Kinney Foundation meeting. And I said, it was an international meeting. I thought, God, what am I going to talk about? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about the detection of non-detectable viruses as a topic. So now I got to have something, you know, that's going to attract attention. So I thought, gee, that damn SV40. I mean, that damn vaculating agent that we have. I'm going to just pick that particular one. Mm-hmm. So I picked it and quick worked it up. And I thought, boy, now that virus has got to be in vaccines. And it's got to be in Sabin's vaccine, so I quickly tested it. Sure enough, it was in there. And
I'll be damned.
So now, so I go ahead and...
So you just took stocks of Sabin's vaccine off the shelf here at Merck?
Yeah, well, that had not been made at Merck. It was made at Merck.
You were making it for Sabin at this point.
Yeah, it was made before I came.
Yeah, but at this point, Sabin is still just doing these massive field trials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Russia and so forth. So I go down, I talked about the detection of non-detected virus. I told Albert, I said, listen, Albert, I said, you know, you and I are good friends. But I said, I'm gonna go down there and you're going to get upset because I'm going to talk about the detection of the non-detected virus. I'm going to talk about a virus that's in your vaccine. Now, you're going to get rid of the virus. Don't worry about it. You're going to get rid of it. But, so, of course, Albert was very upset with me.
What did he say?
Well, he said basically that this is just another obfuscation that is going to upset vaccines. And I said, well, you know, you're absolutely right. But I said, we have a new era here. We have a new era of a detection. And the important thing is to get rid of these viruses.
Why would he call it an obfuscation if it was a virus that was contaminating
vaccines?
Well, no,
because, there are 40 different viruses in these vaccines anyway that we were inactivating. And
but you weren't inactivating the kids, though.
That's correct. No, that's right. But yellow fever vaccine had leukemia virus in it. And, you know, this is in the days of very crude science. So anyway, I went down and talked to him. Albert said, well, why are you concerned about it? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I have a feeling in my bones that this virus is different. I don't know why to tell you this, but I've been around biology a long time. I just think this virus may have some long-term effects. Mm-hmm. And he said, what? I said, well, cancer.
I love it. Go ahead.
I said, Albert, I said, you probably think I'm nuts, but I just have that feeling. Well, in the meantime, we had taken this virus and put it into hamsters.
Uh-huh.
So we had this meeting, and that was sort of the topic of the day, and the jokes that were going around was, gee, we would win the Olympics because the Russians would all be loaded down with tumors. This is where the vaccine was being tested. This was
yeah, right. Right.
So, and it really destroyed the meeting. You know, it was a big international.
Yeah, right.
So it was sort of a topic. No. Anyway.
Was this the Cancer Society meeting, the New York Cancer Society?
No, this was the Sister Kenny.
Oh, it was Sister Kenny. Right.
And Del Becco got up and said that he foresaw problems with these kinds of agents.
Why didn't this get out in the press?
Well, I guess it did. I don't remember. We had no press release on it, obviously. You don't go out. This is a scientific affair within the scientific community. But anyway, the next thing you know, we had run out inactivation curves on this thing. We knew it was in our seed stock for making the vaccine, and in our product, etc. We had run it down, and they were all being killed, you see. But when we were able technologically to grow more virus, then I found it wasn't being inactivated. That virus, you see, it's 1 in 10,000 particles is not inactivated by formaldehyde, which was a very strange phenomenon.
But you could, it was an oral vaccine, or active vaccine.
No, we're talking about the soft vaccine.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And we were in the business, we had just brought out PuroVax. And it was good science at the time, because that was what you did. You didn't worry about these wild viruses.
So you discovered it wasn't being inactivated in the soft vaccine.
Right, so then, the next thing you know is, 3-4 weeks after that, I found that there were tumors popping out in these hamsters.
Who found that?
In fact, it was Bernice Eddy and Sarah Stewart who really found, initially, cancers growing in hamsters associated with the SC polyoma, later named SV40 virus.
And that's the people who we are dealing with here, folks. These people don't think like you and I. And when the CDC and the FDA official got up You could see it. The audience knew it. It was easy for me to blow them out of the water. They didn't know what hit them when I got done with them. You know why? Because I've got a heart and I've got a soul. And yeah, I've got a mind. But it doesn't take over my whole being. They read mechanically from a script to give you the propaganda. And it's easy for you people to see the difference when somebody like me gets up and debates somebody like that. At any rate, let's go into the specifics about the vaccines. And then how to protect ourselves. This is my almost six-year-old daughter now, Elena. I show you a picture of Elena. She says, I read banned books. She's got a little thing. And I show you this because this book, my book, this book was banned. First of all, it was banned by the American Dental Association. They asked me to take it off the floor, otherwise I'd be sued, they told me. Then it has been boycotted by all the major chain store buyers, all the major, Barnes & Noble, B. Dalton, you name it. They all didn't want to put the book in the store. It wasn't for the fact that people loving human beings like you who now have made, despite the boycott, this book a best-selling hardcover. That's right. Thanks to you, this book became a best-selling hardcover because of the documentation, word of mouth, grassroots. But you see, the issue is that today, if you walk into a bookstore, you won't see it there. You won't read on the New York Times that this is a best-selling hardcover. Another little indication that how the industry and information is controlled. But I show you Elena, and I show you my other, we call her baby Ari at the time. She's now three, almost three. And I show you my wife and my family. My wife is an American hero, an unsung American hero for putting up with me and putting up for this process. So please give my wife Jackie a hand. Thank you. You see, I show you this picture to remind me to tell you what never, ever, ever to do, what mistake never to make if you're ever asked, are your children vaccinated or why not? Because we were asked that once. I was in New York City giving a presentation at the Public Health, American Public Health Association meeting. And the next day, Tuesday, I was supposed to be there, and Wednesday, having a booth and explaining to public health people, including officials, what my findings were. What happened was Tuesday morning, I wake up at 7:30 in the morning to screams. Baby Aria had been nudged off the bed by Elena, accidentally. Grandma was sitting there from Canada. Grandma came down to watch the kids. Jackie was making breakfast. I was still in bed. I hear screams. Aria had broken her arm. So we took her to the hospital, St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital, Manhattan. I had been warned not to take anybody there, but it was the closest hospital, and we were 5 hours from Boston. So the intake nurse took a history on baby Aria and asked my wife, are your children vaccinated? And my wife, good Christian woman, says, no, tells the truth, my children are not. And a crusader that my wife is, when asked by the nurse, why not? Why aren't your children vaccinated? My wife said, she threw out her hip, and she said, well, have you seen the new issue of Money Magazine, December 95? It shows that the polio vaccines have been hideously contaminated with cancer viruses all these years, and DPT vaccine has caused brain injury and damage and even death to tens of thousands of children. That's why not. Well, the nurse wrote down that my wife was a little kooky. Little strange, maybe believed in alternative medicine. That's what she wrote down on the chart. And then you see the issue became one of potential negligence and abuse. In fact, when the doctor then misset, the orthopedic physician misset the baby's arm. They kept us waiting 5.5 hours. Orthopedic resident missets her arm, takes another x-ray, Then says Dr. Horowitz, he knew I had a Harvard Master's in Public Health degree, and I was in town to do a presentation at the American Public Health Association meeting. He says, Dr. Horowitz, the bone is 45 degrees off of where it should be. It's going to necessitate an immediate surgical procedure with the placement of two pins. One will become dangerously close to the ulnar nerve, potentially leaving your child paralyzed for life. Now, you don't have to have the degrees and the information that I have and be a consumer advocate like I am to know it's time for a timeout, second opinion. And so when I asked for that, he got a little upset, a little huffy, and then a couple minutes later he heard me talking to my wife and said, Jackie, I think I better drive you back to Boston today. She knows we have a referral network that's excellent there. We have Children's Hospital, and that's not far away. Or I'll fly you back this afternoon, I said to her, and then he pipes up and he says, excuse me, you're not going anywhere with this child. Because with the issues of potential negligence and potential abuse, we now became a case that they reported to the Social Services Department. And don't you know, we lost custody of our baby for 4 days. We lived in hell for 4 days. I was threatened with arrest with a guy with a gun. My wife was threatened with arrest if we were to dare leave that hospital with our baby. And under those circumstances, that coercion, my wife was forced. I couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to do it. My wife came to me with tears in her eyes, and she says, Lenny, we'll never see our baby again unless we do this. I still refused. I couldn't do it. She signed, and they did the, quote, surgical procedure, and thank the Lord it was another doctor that came in completely. Didn't have to do anything that this lunatic told us that needed to be done. It was a closed reduction. No pins. Didn't even open the skin. So it took us 4 days before we finally, $2,000 in legal expenses to an attorney that could do nothing but be a witness. We finally got custody of our child back. You know why? Because of the prayers of probably 30,000 Americans when I was on national radio pleading for help, pleading for prayers. And then I went finally to talk to the administrators and I said, you don't know who you're dealing with here. You continue to do this and I guarantee you, you will be the laughingstock of this country. And I had already called in hard copy and some of the other magazines, and they were already ready to come. That's the only reason. I'm a little special, but I want you to know I speak to probably 2 or 3 parents a week who are involved in litigation over these same issues. If you don't believe that we are living in Nazi America today, you are in denial. You don't own your children. You don't even have control over your children today. The state does. Had I known that I had a video camera when they came at me, if I only knew what I know now, that if I said to them, you dare and block my exit from this hospital, and I will not hold the hospital or the Social Services Department of the state liable for this breach of my civil rights and for this kidnapping, I will hold you personally liable, and I will attach your property. You do not block my exit. See, that's what you do. But I didn't know that. Just like all of you who think it's mandatory, we're brainwashed into thinking we have no civil rights. We're brainwashed into thinking we have to do things that we don't really in our hearts feel we even want to do or in our minds no, is not even in our best interest. So here, the bottom line, if you're ever asked, are your children vaccinated, if you can bring yourselves to lie and say, yes, it's taken care of, they're all fine, I'm fine, I'm all vaccinated, I can take this job. And if you feel like you can't lie, that's okay, I'm with you. Here's what I would say. You say, for spiritual and religious reasons, I refuse to have my children vaccinated. That's it. You have a problem with that, mister or missus? And they say, oh, yes, it's a mandatory. Excuse me. First of all, it's not mandatory if you check with your CDC officials. And second of all, I know in your desk drawer you have an exemption form that you don't want to tell me about. You see, because the school here that you work for gets a stipend from the federal government only if they register 90% or more of the children into the vaccine program. It's a payoff from the federal government. So I know you have exemption forms, and if you don't, you better call the public health department, just like the Centers for Disease Control directors tell you, to get those forms. Because they're very clear that at best they're going to get 90%, and more like they're only going to get 80% of the foolish Americans to buy into this coercion. And then if they still give you a hard time, you can play some games. Here's how you can have fun. You can say, okay, particularly in hospitals, you know, emergency room techs or, you know, firemen, police officials, you know, who have to get now hepatitis B. I'll talk a little bit about that in a couple minutes. You can say, okay, you win, I'll do it. We'll get vaccinated under one condition. And they'll say to you, good, we're glad you've come to your senses. What's that condition? You say, I'll do it so long as you provide me with a bonded, notarized affidavit that swears that you will assume all medical, legal, and financial risks in the event I or my child is injured from the vaccine. And you know what you'll see then? You know what you're going to see then? You're going to see rats scurrying with their tails between their legs. That's what you'll see. They'll never do that. And then, if you want to have more fun, if you ever have the opportunity to get embroiled in litigation over this vaccine issue, what you do is you look at it as an opportunity. Like Gaylene Langtoe, who wrote the book The Medical Mafia up in Canada. Staunch anti-vaccine pediatric physician who refused to vaccinate her patients. The Canadian Medical Association, Canadian government threatened to take her away a license, brought her before a kangaroo court. She called me. She called W. John Martin, who's one of the world's leading vaccine contamination analysts, in charge of testing human vaccines for contamination between 1976 and 1980 at the Food and Drug Administration, Bureau of Biologics. And they called us, and she got us to come to her defense. And on Friday morning, the kangaroo court met, and John Martin was up first. And before Martin took the stand, they put a copy of the book Emerging Viruses into the defense, the public record. And then John Martin gave testimony like he gave in the foreword to the book, saying that these vaccines carry major contaminants. And the fact is that they may or may not cause cancer or other illnesses in your lifetime, but they may be passed through the gene line to your children or your children's children or even environmentally, and they may cause cancer or other illnesses in their lifetimes. And you know what the kangaroo court judge did? Came back after the first break and pounded his gavel and said, case dismissed. They never want to have that. Now, ultimately, they came at Gaylene Langtoe from another side, another charge, and she ended up voluntarily throwing her medical license in their faces and said, this is a disgrace. I'm going to take this, my story, and the truth to people all around the world. And that's what she's been doing now. So that's the fun you can have with some of these things and the truth, knowing this. What about AIDS, cancer, chronic fatigue? No doubt. Let's talk about hepatitis, for example. I was in France maybe a little less than six months ago. And there, much like we have the FDA, the medical mafia here, they've got it over there too, because it's all operating under one World Health Organization, New Ordnung, New Order, for monopolization of the pharmaceutical industries that I mentioned yesterday was Hitler's direction with his partners, Rockefeller, IG Farben, the partners of the Third Reich, to create a monopoly over the world's pharmaceutical and chemical industries for, quote, the rise of the Fourth Reich to facilitate the New World Order. And among the leading recipients of the Nazi war chest was Merck & Company, Bayer Company. Oh, Bayer, you know them. Aspirin, wonderful people. Did you know that they created the factor 8, blood clotting factor 8, that delivered HIV, the AIDS virus, to hundreds of hemophiliacs throughout the United States? And oh, by the way, the other wonderful people that did the rest of the 10,000 hemophiliacs in was Lawrence Rockefeller's good old group, the New York City Blood Council, that gave Council of Doctors, that gave rise to the New York City Blood Bank. These people became the international blood banksters. They largely controlled the American Red Cross. These are the people, the Red Cross people, who gave false CIA, false identifications to many of the Nazis that the CIA was, and the Dulles brothers were running out through the rat lines after World War II. And the New York City Blood Bank they put together, which became International Blood Banksters, these are the people that allowed the 10,000 hemophiliacs and countless others throughout the world to get HIV-contaminated blood that they knew was contaminated with the AIDS virus between 1980 and 1986, and they did nothing substantially to clean it up. Oh, it's just a coincidence, Dr. Horowitz, that the Rockefeller Foundation has been a major funder, along with the Merck Fund, of population control, population reduction.
You have to know who these people are behind the military medical industrial complex that I talked about yesterday. The Rockefeller-led military medical industrial complex, pharmaceutical complex, which literally had a partnership with IG Farben and the Third Reich, and have evolved to this very day to implement a new ordnung, new order, new world order for the world's pharmaceutical and chemical industries, because they realized that they could literally take human beings out silently, covertly, through drugs and chemicals, as well as propaganda. So today the spin doctors join the pharmaceutical chemical contractors in their effort to conduct ongoing genocide, and we sit by in our ignorance, most of us, and that's why you're here today, is to get out of that darkness and shed some light on the situation of the vaccines, which today, in my opinion, are being used like the gas of World War II, and that the physicians' offices and public health units that offer you free vaccines, come get your free vaccines, are like the concentration camps of yesteryear. I mentioned yesterday because it's the same people or their heirs and the same money, but vast fortunes more are made off of human suffering, humanity's suffering. The people who maintain the same ideology that have evolved these last decades to implement the new ordnung, the new world order, which is the rise of the Fourth Reich, which was intended and planned way back even before World War II. And so, this is the continuing saga where history is repeating itself because of ignorance, because of laziness. We don't study history. History repeats itself, or because the history is covert operations, never makes it into the history books. So the people, I fear, that led those millions of people into the concentration camp gas chambers and killed them under the guise of public health, disinfection, that literally these are the same relatives of the people who are telling the healthcare professionals, the good, true-hearted public health people sitting in this audience today, many of them, who inject our children and tell us with loving eyes and what we think is an open heart, saying, this is for your child's own good. And yet those people are literally brainwashed. They are brain dead. There's a good book that I recommend people, scientists, read. It's in the, it's a publication by Christopher Simpson, Oxford University Press, 1994. It's called The Science of Coercion. Simpson studied psychological warfare methods used on scientists and physicians and the health professionals from 1945 to virtually the present. And what does Simpson conclude? The same thing that I concluded in the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. that the Rockefellers established the agenda for science throughout the world, and that if you were a health scientist or a health professional that did not go along with the agenda, then you were traditionally demoted, defunded, and ostracized or persecuted, like we have Dr. Brzezinski today in Texas and Belgensky in France and numerous other healthcare professionals, everything from homeopaths to naturopaths to chiropractors to massage therapists and spiritual healers. They're all been ostracized, and what you don't know is that the root of this is a very evil people connected to the Rockefellers who paid off a guy named Flexner to do a bogus scientific investigation, which allegedly said that all of these alternative therapies were quackery. And so that's why we have the monopoly. They established a monopoly over American medicine in the 1920s. They established the cancer industry in the 1920s. They established the eugenics, genocidal, racial hygiene industry in the 1920s that is going on today. You think it's an accident that 35% of Native American women in the United States today are sterile? You think it's an accident or a coincidence that 25% of black women in the United States today are sterile, cannot conceive? How do you think these people got sterile? You want to believe the hogwash propaganda that these people are dirty and they're filthy and they use drugs and they're not eating as well? Well, maybe they're not eating as well for a little bit of poverty in some cases, if not many cases, but you know, that wouldn't explain sterility. Fact is that, for example, the tetanus vaccine, people came up to my booth out here a little while ago and said, "What about the tetanus vaccine, Dr. Horowitz?" I told them I used to believe that the tetanus vaccine was wonderful. My mom told me, "You got to get a tetanus vaccine every time you get stuck with a rusty nail or anything, rusty metal, otherwise you're going to get lockjaw." I want you to know I've talked to thousands and thousands of doctors. I've yet to find one physician that has ever seen a case of lockjaw. But the bottom line is, the tetanus vaccine was given in the late 80s to hundreds of thousands of women, mostly in the Philippines, some in North America. I've met some of the women here in the United States. And it contained human chorionogonadotrophic hormone, HCG. That is the female pregnancy hormone that allows for the fertilized egg to implant into the uterine wall and then facilitates the development of the placenta so that the pregnancy can continue. And when they injected these women with a foreign woman's hormone, it caused their bodies to develop an immune response. Antibodies attacked their own female hormones so that when they got pregnant, it was a sterilization experiment. So the simple vaccine for tetanus, I can no longer endorse. The safest of all, I thought, being used to kill people. So this is the evolution of the eugenics industry. Margaret Sanger got her start back then. Miss Family Planning, population reduction. Ernst Rudin became the director of the Rockefeller-built Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenics in pre-Nazi Germany. And today, physicians and public health nurses look at you and tell you this is for your own good because they've been persuaded by the Rockefeller-directed military medical industrial propaganda complex. The only difference between those healthcare professionals that tell you these vaccines are safe and effective and that they're for your own good and your children's good, the only difference between them and any other cult follower in the world, one difference. Most cult followers know who their leaders are. But there's no agenda going on here, folks. There's nothing but pure science and health in mind and concerns for people's health. And now you look at the Merck literature on the hepatitis B vaccine. Just read the package insert. Read what it says about side effects. Starts at 15%, developing a little redness and swelling around the site of injection. Hey, no big deal. We're macho. We can take that. It says 14%, develop a little fever, a little perhaps flu-like symptoms. Goes away in a couple of days. No problem. Hey, I guess we parents were interested in our lives or our children. We can deal with that. 13, maybe 12% develop more sustained fevers, longer duration, perhaps more
flu-like symptoms. Now we parents start getting a little worried now, don't we? Goes on to say 9-10% more severe flu symptoms, potentially long-term chronic illnesses, 7-8 worse, 3-5 even worse than that. Finally, it gets down to where they say, quote, less than 1% of the people who get this vaccine sustain serious injury, end quote. What does that mean? Serious injury? Brain damage, chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and sudden infant death. Death. Now, they say less than 1%. We could take that to mean 0.5%. Or we can just take 1% and cut in half. Let's just cut in half the population who they say they want to give this hepatitis B vaccine to. They want to inoculate, they say, 90% of approximately 50 million children, infants and children. So let's take half of that. Instead of 50 million, let's just take 25 million. What's 1% of 25 million children? That's 250,000. That's 250,000 of our children over the next 7 years will likely develop brain damage, chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis, or be dead from that one vaccine. One out of over 20 vaccines that they want to give us today and our kids. Do you know what that means? 250,000 over 7 years? That means approximately 25,000 to 35,000 children. That's approximately the number of people that died in the United States of AIDS last year. That's who's going to die, become crippled or brain damaged, very likely, from that one vaccine. You want to expand it to include the other vaccines? Okay, let's do it. Let's even use the Centers for Disease Control's own data. CDC, both in 1995 and 96, two publications reported. Studies where they followed it from 1990 to 1995 was the first. Let's just take that one. The second one's even worse. They reported between 1990 and 1995, there were over 45,000 vaccine-injured people. And that, they said, over 45,000, according to the Centers for Disease Control, represented, quote, less than 1% of the actual injuries due to gross underreporting, end quote. Now you know what that means. That means you have to take 45,000 over 5 years and multiply it times at least 100. Could be 200, but let's just take 100. What is 100 times 45,000? That is 4.5 million vaccine-induced injuries, according to the federal government statistics. Over 5 years, that means we have well over 800,000 people in the United States today that are being injured from vaccines. And you don't read a word about it in the media. An ongoing holocaust of vaccine injuries in the United States today. And you don't read one word about it. Only wonderful praise about how wonderful vaccines are, and even with the new bioterrorism issues that came out this past weekend, they said, vaccines is the only protection you have besides other slight things that you can do. Propaganda. Let's talk about the polio vaccine. Hillary Kaprowski, who's the grandfather, the most widely respected pioneer in this whole area of molecular biology and virology and vaccine research and development, who was in Africa in the mid-50s, testified before Congress, an almost infinite number of monkey viruses can contaminate the polio vaccines. Oh, how nice. It was Adolf Hitler who said, you know, you tell a lie long enough, eventually you believe it's truth. And the greater the lie, the more people will believe it. Well, you know, the phrase that comes to mind with this is the phrase, Vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. Never a greater lie has ever been told. About a year ago, I sat right opposite when the Nation of Islam's health minister recommended a moratorium for all people of color throughout the United States, a moratorium against U.S. government promulgated vaccines. And I sat across after getting an invitation from David Satcher, CDC director today, Surgeon General of the United States, to come down and discuss, quote, issues of mutual interest. And I sat across from a CDC official and a representative from the pharmaceutical industry. I said, excuse me, when he was objecting. In fact, what he was doing was he was shaking his finger at Dr. Ali Mohammed and myself. And he says, do you know how many people are you going to kill because of your callousness and your what you're saying and doing? And I said, excuse me, that assumes that you have definitive cost-benefit and risk-benefit analysis done on your vaccines. And I've looked for those. You don't have what you say you have. If you do, you can produce those for me. And they never did. And the bottom line is when he said, well, we have cost-benefit analysis. I said, fine, you even haven't even considered all the costs associated with, like, my sister-in-law, a brilliant microbiologist, who at a hospital in Calgary told her she couldn't work there anymore and her career would be ruined if she didn't get the hepatitis B vaccine. And after the first injection, she became crippled with rheumatoid arthritis. She can barely hold her infant in the mornings. I said, have you taken into consideration in your cost-benefit analysis? I know what you say. You say that for 35 cents, you can save $1.50. Well, that's very nice, but when you look at your analysis, have you looked at the cost to society of a brilliant microbiologist or physicians and public health nurses and dentists and hygienists who get this vaccine and no law and then lose their career after spending $100,000 or more? How many lives over a lifetime could they have saved? Have you figured those costs in? Of course they haven't. And then the biggest issue is the risk-benefit analysis. They don't know, in fact, today, whether they are killing and maiming more people than they're helping and saving. They have no definitive long-term studies that show that most plausibly the entire gamut of autoimmune-related disorders and weird cancers with no family history, everything from lupus to MS to fibromyalgia to Guillain-Barré, to attention deficit disorders, hyperactivity disorders, even John Martin says maybe it's ascribed to some of these contaminants getting into the brain tissue, to AIDS, to chronic fatigue, to Gulf War syndrome associated today by science, hard facts as being associated with an experimental AIDS vaccine that they administered to unsuspecting and unwitting troops. Today we have 200,000 vets suffering from Gulf War syndrome, approximately 20,000 dead. You don't hear too much about that in the media either. It's an old story. Now, you see it's on page 25. How about chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis? How about adult onset diabetes? MS. Lou Gehrig's disease. Asthma. Hay fever. Allergies. All have now been scientifically linked to the autoimmune system-related disorders. How do they happen? Oh, by the same mechanism, all those diseases share in common the same mechanism. What happens? Here is what happens in simple language so that you can understand what's going on here. You see, as you get injected in your body by contaminants, and not even necessarily contaminants, ingredients of the vaccines. Read the Merck literature. What's in the new chickenpox vaccine that Merck's putting out that's being hailed and heralded that all the children should take the chickenpox vaccine? I mean, we used to be happy if we got chickenpox. We lost a week or two of school. Stayed home, watched cartoons. Go get your chickenpox vaccine. Well, read the literature. You know what's in the chickenpox vaccine? I saw a copy of the technical report. Not contaminants. Ingredients. How would you like to read monosodium glutamate? I mean, I tell Chinese food chefs to take it out of my food. I don't want to have that. Eat it. I want to have it injected into my child's body, to the bloodstream. How about aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, formalin? How about herpes viruses. Now, if it was herpes zoster, which is chickenpox, they would say herpes zoster. Now, wouldn't they? They say no. Herpes viruses, which allows them to cover the fact that most plausibly other herpes, cytomegalo, Epstein-Barr, herpes B, other herpes-type viruses could be also in that mix. And then it says, oh, isn't that nice? Foreign RNA and DNA. Do you know what? That's a nice way of saying to you and I. Carcinogens. Because what is foreign RNA when it gets injected into your blood? The cells in your immune system surround those. They take it into the genes frequently. They can recombine with your own genes, and that becomes a precancerous cell or a precancerous lesion. And you know what it says in the Bible? Here's another thing for spiritual and religious people. You want to hold fast to the exemption for spiritual and religious beliefs? Here's what you can tell. You can argue. You know, it says in the good book that you don't create hybrid seeds. What do you think recombinant vaccines are? It's mutant recombinants of pieces of RNA and DNA and fragments of protein. God knows where they got them from. And then when they get into your system, what happens to them? They enter the cells and they create mutant hybrid cells in your own body. And God said that should not happen. Don't do that. And that's modern medical science. And so what happens, you see, as the common pathway for all the autoimmune and neurological disorders that science now and mounting evidence is proving, is that when you get injected with those foreign protein particles and DNA and RNA, those little foreign proteins attach themselves to your own host cell protein. And it forms what's called an antigenic complex, a complex made up of your own host cell protein combined with a foreign viral or bacterial protein that now your body, God's magnificent creation, recognizes this entire complex as foreign, and it mounts what's called an immune response against the entire complex called autoimmune. In other words, your body starts attacking itself. So like my mother, for example, who routinely went to her doctor for flu vaccines, beginning with the swine flu vaccine, she developed a disease called Guillain-Barré and then subsequently died of another autoimmune disorder called cancer. A couple radiation treatments, oh, that's wonderful stuff, and chemicals later, a couple months later, she was dead, my mother. What happened in her case, you see, when she was injected with those flu vaccines, those particles attached themselves to the myelin sheath surrounding her nerve fibers. And so her own white blood cells and antibodies started attacking the myelin sheath surrounding her nerve fibers. She became progressively weaker and paralyzed then. So that's what happens when the particles attach to the nerve fibers. How about my best friend Tom, health maintenance organization, tells him, come get your vaccines. They're free. You paid for them, HMOs. So Tom goes, gets his vaccines. And again, those little particles attach themselves to the pancreatic islets of Langerhans cells and the tissues in his pancreas responsible for insulin production, regulating blood sugar. All of a sudden, Tom gets diagnosed with adult onset diabetes. His wife, Lynn, same HMO, same vaccine program, develops multiple sclerosis. That's what's going on, folks. They're taking us out, and we don't even know it. Never a greater lie has been told. Vaccines are safe and effective. Many people say, well, the vaccines have wiped many of these infectious diseases off the planet. If it wasn't for the vaccines, we would still have these other infectious diseases like polio. Well, you know what the authorities tell you? They tell you, Don't listen to people who tell you that hygiene and nutritional improvements, hygiene and nutrition, have been the leading cause of the vast reduction in infectious diseases from planet Earth. CDC authorities tell you, don't listen to that. And then they show you, like they showed everybody on Saturday in Chicago, a chart starting in 1960. A chart starting in 1960 when they initiated the vaccine program, and then you saw a drastic reduction in the infectious diseases. Isn't that nice that they showed us that, and they were so high quality? I mean, Hill and Knowlton public relations firms must have come up with those slides because they were beautiful, multicolor slides, very persuasive graphics. But you know, if they just extended their slide from 1960 back to the early 1900s, this is what you would see. You would see that the vast majority of the infectious diseases were well on their way out before the vaccines were administered. In fact, when you see the overall trend for polio, this is measles. The overall trend, you then begin to see that the vaccines had little, if anything, to do with the drastic reduction of infectious diseases from the planet. And then when you realize that, for example, over the past, I guess it's 17, 18 years now, every single case of polio that's ever struck anyone in the United States was caused by the vaccine. And when in scientific symposiums, the authorities have been said, why don't we then stop the polio vaccine program? You know what they're told? Sorry, we are just concerned because of the illegal immigration problem that the immigrants are going to carry in the polio plague back into the United States. Well, then why the heck don't they do something about the illegal immigration problem instead of giving our children cancer-causing viruses in the polio vaccines? You know, here's a good example. How effective and how safe are these vaccines? For example, in my state of Massachusetts, the year that they initiated the polio vaccine, there was a 600% increase in polio cases that year. And I'm not even describing to you the horrible Cutter incident and the politics behind that. I could spend another half an hour. We go into that in a tape called Virus Makers of the CIA. It's at our booth. Horrible things. And isn't it interesting, you know, they tell you rid us of polio, the vaccine, did the polio vaccine, but did you know that mounting science is now indicating that this thing called meningitis, that we have epidemics now in our children, that most plausibly the neurological problems associated with meningitis are being linked to the weakened polio virus still in the Sabin vaccine. It's just a different neurological symptomatology. It's a little different. It's weaker. It's not as bad as full-blown polio. But look it. The evidence indicates that that's what's going on. In red, you had polio cases before 1955 and the lower number of meningitis cases. Now, here's after 66, no polio, but oh, look at meningitis. And that's just one illness that is linked to the vaccines. Not all the other illnesses. And Salk himself, isn't that nice? When you inoculate your children with polio vaccine, you don't sleep well for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, then thank you, Dr. Salk. It's like a recent study that has been published. You know, that 70% of the top cancer researchers, when their family or friend, real intimate friends develop cancer, they don't refer them to chemotherapy and radiation therapy. They refer them to people like Dr. Gold for hydrazine sulfate, or to botanicals and healing herbs and all those things that are being suppressed by the FDA because they're still under the gun of the World Health Organization, now growing issue of Codex Alimentarius legislation. That is the standardization, regulation of all the world's botanicals and healing herbs and vitamins and supplements by the Rockefeller-led pharmaceutical complex and the World Health Organization. We had a major victory about a month and a half ago We defeated that. Many of you have been following. We defeated the activists, defeated the harmonization language in the FDA reform bill that would have made the FDA harmonize or standardize according to the World Health Organization standards. It was because of efforts from people like you. We got on the internet. Their phones were jammed in Congress. That we defeated that language, but they're still coming around. They're still going through it. They never give up. We've got to be constantly vigilant. And they change the standards all the time. They do bizarre things. So, like, how would you like that they changed the definition of AIDS? That's sound medical practice and scientific practice, isn't it? Change, expand the definition of AIDS to include more people under the insurance program, according to the government officials. That's real sound science, isn't it? How about this? Epidemiology. Before they administered the polio vaccines, it required only 20 cases per 100,000 to declare an epidemic. Now, to show you, the public, how wonderful the vaccines are and persuade you to believe it, they raised the definition of what's required to call it an epidemic to 35 per 100,000 cases. So now you see only half of the outbreaks, the epidemics. That sounds scientific practice, isn't it? That's great. Measles, pertussis. Again, how effective are these things when so many people get the disease against which they were vaccinated? Whooping cough, pertussis, this is a particularly terrible, risky vaccine. Again, you see there was a reduction in even whooping cough long before the vaccines were initiated. And then, God forbid, you would be a parent like so many. In fact, if you go out to our booth, the booth in the center of the auditorium out there, and you see a blonde-haired woman, her name is Kathy Brilliant. She's my principal volunteer. She started volunteering for me about a year and a half ago. You know why? Because her child was a DPT, a pertussis vaccine injured child. She became brain damaged. This is what happened to her child and so many others. This is, for example, before the child's given the vaccine. This is in blue, is a measure of the respiratory capacity, breathing rate. Ease or difficulty of breathing. Let's say difficulty of breathing. Here's before. This is the day of the inoculation. It becomes a little bit more difficult to breathe. Second day, child suffocating. Gets a little bit better all of a sudden. Third and fourth day, all of a sudden, five and six, it's bad again. Maybe by 8, 10, day 10, you have all of a sudden suffocation. It's called sudden infant death. What do they tell you? Sorry, we don't know what causes this. Sorry, it must be something they ate. Sorry, it must have been in the genes. Sorry, it was God's will. God's will. These children develop high fever, pain, swelling, diarrhea, projectile vomiting, sleepiness and sleeplessness, high-pitched screaming. They scream like they're possessed. High-pitched, for days. Imagine living through that hell as a parent. You can't. Inconsolable crying, seizures and convulsions, collapse, shock, breathing problems, brain damage, sudden infant death. They tell you about some of the contraindications of vaccination, but they don't tell you nearly a quarter of them. Then all the other contaminants and ingredients include simian virus 40 and the polio, simian foamy retroviruses that contain reverse transcriptase, the unique enzyme that makes the leukemia viruses work, the lymphoma viruses, the AIDS virus. Isn't it interesting, on here you'll hear Dr. Hilleman also tell you how hideously contaminated the yellow fever viruses were with leukemia. Yellow fever vaccines were contaminated with leukemia viruses, he tells you, as well as a horrible reality of the polio vaccines. Mycoplasma, common vaccine contaminant that we now see in many Gulf War veterans, now with an AIDS virus envelope gene attached to it. That is a common vaccine contaminant. Simian cytomegalo, Epstein-Barr, mercury, formaldehyde. Nice things to be injecting into our children's bodies. And then the links to cancers, indeed. If you took all other cancers except the four soft tissue tumors, besides, let's get rid of the green, is lung disease, cancer associated with smoking. We're going to get rid of lung disease now. Just the other four, there are four other soft tissue tumors that have been rising off the charts over the past two decades. They are breast, prostate, lymphoma, and melanoma. Now, oh, it's just a coincidence that the melanin pigment, the black pigment, has been a rising epidemic cancer. When isn't it interesting that that's what they were studying in the 1940s and 1950s in these labs in Africa? But let's get rid of that one, just because we know that the sun and the pollution and the ozone depletion is causing us to be getting more skin cancer. So we'll get rid of that one. That's going to leave us with the three soft tissue tumors that are rising off the charts. Prostate, breast, and lymphoma. Oh, lymphoma! That was the viruses yesterday. Dr. Sally, do you want to come up here for a second? Dr. Sally is from Uganda. Please give Dr. Sally a hand. Thank you. See, Dr. Sally came yesterday with Angie Carlson, and he explained to me what he was witnessing in Uganda among the top medical researchers there that were investigating, doing investigations. And in a book, Emerging Viruses, I showed the scientific documentation that said lymphoma was very, very endemic only to a small region of Central Africa, and that's where, when the researchers saw that this was a tumor, lymphoma tumor, growing in these Africans, they began to study it and dissect out the viruses and the chemicals that would induce this type of specific cancer. Dr. Sally, I wonder if you could just add a little bit of personal experience. What did these people tell you? What did you experience in regard to this whole issue?
They told us that there were some new diseases that were developing in Africa, and they were trying to find out what really caused them, because Dr. Cook, who had been working in the country from the 18th century to the 19th century, had made very careful records, and in these records, they could not find any of these new diseases that were now being found in various parts of Africa, one of which was Burkitt's lymphoma, a children's tumor that was found developing in West Nile, which is part of Uganda, and later was established to be developing among children that were born around an American research center in West Nile. And it was also found that the mothers of these children had received certain vaccinations which they promised were protective against certain diseases. And this was the teaching we got in 1961, 60, and before that, about 4 years before that time, and later, 67, 68. But these tumors were developing more and more, and they said they were transmitted by mosquitoes through a virus they said was similar to Epstein-Barr virus.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for being here today. God bless you. And they took, like I discovered in the research literature, and it's so interesting, you know, the American Cancer Society and the Centers for Disease Control for decades never discussed viruses. related to cancer. They told you everything else to avoid doing in association with increased cancer risk. The American Cancer Society, which, by the way, the Rockefellers began the cancer industry in the 1920s, the same decade that they created a monopoly over American medicine by funding the Flexner investigation, the bogus investigation by Flexner, and then the legislation in Congress that outlawed all the quackery practices other than pharmaceutical-based, drug-based medicine. Everything else was quackery. That was the Rockefellers, inspired and funded by the Rockefellers. The same decade, the Rockefellers, Prescott Bush, George Bush's father, the royal family, General William Draper III, and other family politically relevant notables inspired the eugenics agenda, which most Americans don't know what that term means. Eugenics simply means the genetic differences between the races, including the genetic predispositions for diseases. And at the same time, they tell you all of the things to avoid. They tell you to avoid going out in the sun. You've got to wear your block. Don't use those cellular phones too close to your ears for too long. Don't use the radiation technology. Don't sit in front of a video display terminal for too long. That's a cancer risk. Don't eat those, you know, chemicals in those foods. Some of those are carcinogenic, but they never mentioned viruses. Now, as I was reviewing Dr. Grallo's research, for example, and as I show you, Dr. Sally, in the book are the government documents that show Litton Bionetics' labs was in Northwest Uganda. Northwest Uganda, in association with the International Association for Research in Cancer, and their other one was in Bethesda, Maryland. Their monkey colonies were in southeast Uganda. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at that documentation from the National Cancer Institute monograph of 1974, you see they were fooling around with prostate cancer viruses as well. Oh, it's just a coincidence that prostate cancer is going off the charts, claiming maybe 50 to 60,000 American men's lives a year today. And then as I was reviewing Gallo's research, I found what some of his associates at Fort Detrick, Maryland were studying. Fort Detrick, Maryland, of course, used to be America's biological weapons testing capital. Today it's the home of the National Cancer Institute. And they were studying at the time mouse mammary tumor viruses. It would cause breast cancer in mice. And then they decided they wanted to test these mouse mammary tumor viruses in cattle. So they injected them into cows. And lo and behold, soon they began to find, oh, isn't that interesting? Mouse mammary tumor viruses being expressed in the cow's milk. Well, you know, does it take a rocket scientist, a genius, to understand we live on a small planet with a tight food chain, that what goes around comes around? But I guess it does. Because these people who aren't rocket scientists, they were National Cancer Institute Army virus researchers, decided to study it further, and 2 years later published in the scientific literature, now finding these mouse mammary tumor viruses being expressed in mother's breast milk, female breast lactate. I don't wonder where the epidemic of breast cancer, now killing or crippling as many as 80,000 women in the United States a year, I don't wonder where these are coming from. Bernice Eddy, a brilliant woman. Women by history never did too well at the National Institute of Health or the National Cancer Institute due to the sexism and discrimination. Typically, they had their findings stolen by the men. One such woman was Bernice Eddy, who in 1961 went to her boss at the National Institute of Health and showed him pictures of the fact that she had inoculated a dozen monkeys with the Sabin vaccine, and all dozen killed, over dead, or paralyzed. And she warned him that there was going to be a cancer epidemic brewing. And he confiscated the photos and demoted and defunded her. It took her 10 years before she finally made it to Congress and then said, in front of Congress, 4 days before Nixon's helicopter touched down on Fort Detrick, Maryland soil, where he said, we're turning swords into plowshares by making this the new home of the National Cancer Institute. No longer biological warfare, only cancer research. Lied. 4 days before that, Bernice Eddy told Congress, if you continue to allow these contaminated vaccines to go out, I guarantee you over the next 20 years, you will see epidemics of cancer unlike the world has ever seen. And that's what we're seeing today. Besides the spiritual requirement, there are numerous things that we have available to us. Thank God, at this point in time, there are numerous nutritional supplements, phytonutrients, alternative therapies that are coming along very quickly now. Again, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth. It says in the Bible, after we get through the Great Tribulation, once again the crystal clear waters will flow through the rivers and streams, whose banks will be lined by the trees, whose leaves bring about the healing of the nations. See, that's why the Food and Drug Administration want to take your supplements away from you. They know that there are the cures for cancer today. They know these things. They're withholding them because not enough people, according to their agenda, have died.